I'm here with Alex and Danny. I'd like to just lead you in a song of praise to open us up on this cold morning. I invite all the young ones to grab any musical instrument you want. Make some noise with us. Everyone, worship as you feel led and comfortable. I know everyone's space is different, but if you feel moved to dance, to clap your hands, to stand up, to move around, to close your eyes, to kneel, any of those things is all a blessing to God.
As we light the Christ candle, we remember that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And now a responsive reading from Psalm 60. O God, you have rejected us, broken our defenses. You have been angry, now restore us.
You have caused the land to quake. You have torn it open. Repair the cracks in it, for it is tottering. You have made your people suffer hard things. You have given us wine to drink that made us reel.
Give victory with your right hand and answer us so that those whom you love may be rescued.
Oh, grant us help against the foe, for human help is worthless. With God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes.
Good morning, Church Without Walls. I am Tim Zener Davis. I am a member here at Church Without Walls. And what I'm going to have everybody do right now is unmute yourself. Come on now, unmute yourselves. We're all family here. When you are unmuted, say amen.
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 Say amen, Lydia.
Amen.
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 All right, so on the count of three, together we will say, good morning, sisters. Good morning, brothers.
Oh, there we go.
Never forget, justice is what love looks like in person or in public. So again, never forget, justice is what love looks like in public. One, two, three. Good morning, sisters. Good morning, brothers. Never forget. Amen. All right, go ahead. So we want to take this opportunity to say welcome to those of you who are visitors or newcomers with us here at Church Without Walls. Welcome to our church community. We are a community that follows Jesus, loving God, the Bible, our neighbor, and the world. If you would like more information about our church community, you can go down into the chat and find the admin CWOW link and go there. If you would like to also just be added to our email list, you can also go there and do that as well. But again, if you are a visitor or newcomer, welcome to Church Without Walls. We have a table load of announcements this morning. So let me jump right into that. So I want to start off with this week's Justice Actions. First and foremost, we want to encourage folks as we are running up to Election Day to consider prayer and fasting. You can pray using the liturgy that is in the chat and fast as God leads you. There are also fasting resources in the link as well. So the prayer liturgy and the fasting resources. There's also some resources from a dear sister to us, Erina Kim Eubanks. She's a pastor at a church over in San Leandro. She also has some resources that you can hook into as well. We also want to encourage folks to consider corporate prayer, and that is praying for our nation with family, friends, your household, or your life group. There are also opportunities to do that in the church as well. We have noon prayer. We have Friday morning prayer. We have pre-church prayer. You can go to the link you can look at This Week in CWOW, and there's the schedule for those prayers. And I think there's probably a link also that'll give you the schedule of those prayer opportunities as well. We also want to suggest to people doing a little vote triplers. What is vote triplers? Well, simply, you text three friends, especially those in swing states, text them to remind them to vote. And then you will ask them to reach out to three of their friends and remind them to vote. And the chain goes on and on and on and on. You can learn more about that. There is an article in the chat that you can check out that'll give you a little more information about that strategy. There is also a lunch and learn today for last minute election ballot questions. So the team will be there at noon today. You can use the Justice link in the chat to join the group. And again, that's at noon today, and it's just for any last minute questions folks might have about the ballot, the election ballot. And finally, CWOW Spooktacular Costume Contest. So next Saturday, October 31st, that is my date of birth. I got to the party when I did the smurf. No, October 31st is not my birthday. It is actually Halloween. And so Saturday, October 31st at 4 p.m., we will be having a spectacular costume contest. Look for the link to join in This Week at CWOW and in the weekend update. All people of all ages are encouraged to apply as a individual or as a group. Costumes will be judged on creativity, originality, and effort. There will be judges, prizes, and audience anticipation. So please sign up as soon as possible by emailing Sister Karen, and her email address is in the chat. Whew! That was a lot of me. Now I think it's time for a little Sister Sarah with I Wonder. Take it away, Sister Sarah.
Thank you, Tim. Hi, Godly Play Kids. It's your turn. Come on over. Make everybody else scoot over. You get to be in the front right now. Some of you already in the front. That's good. Okay. Hi. Good morning. Oh, I'm so glad to see you. You guys are so important to us here. Everyone on the screen, you are important to them. And we all miss you. Okay, Martin is going to go to tend to the oven because it's beeping. That's so distracting. Oh, my. Okay. I'm going to think about... Okay, I'm wondering about prayer today because Tim just listed a whole bunch of things, ways that the grown-ups might want to pray this week and even fast too. But I'm not going to talk about that. I'm just going to talk about the prayer part. And I'm wondering, especially you who are sitting very close to the camera, have you prayed lately? You can nod your head or you can say, no, I can't pray. I'm not praying. Yes. Oh, thank you. Very clear. Large head movements for people sitting farther away. Thank you. Okay. I wonder what kinds of things you're praying about. Did you just like say the family prayer at breakfast? Like, God, thanks for the food. Or are you praying things like, I don't know, like, God, when is school going to be open? Or something like that. Okay. Have you got something in your head that you might have prayed about lately? You can always talk to your person and kind of brainstorm it. It's okay. I'm going to keep talking. Okay. Sorry about the technical difficulties. I'm wondering if you have a favorite prayer. You have a favorite prayer that you pray? Or maybe something that you pray all the time? Like right before bed or something like that? Maybe you're thinking about it. Okay, that's okay. I wonder what the most important thing to pray about is. Like the number one most important thing to pray about. You have an idea? Okay, okay. Tell your person. Go ahead. And then I'm wondering, is there something about prayer that you wish you could just leave out? Or you could just do without that and you'd still have everything you need to be able to pray okay? Anything like that come to mind? Okay, it's okay if you're not clear. This time is just for you to think about things. All right, Godly Play Kids. Thanks for scooting close. I love seeing you. Good job today. I'll talk to you next time.
Hi, everybody. My name is Gary. I'm a pastor here at Church Without Walls. And at Church Without Walls, we are committed to growing in friendship throughout this whole weird, awful pandemic. We're still going to get to know each other and build up friendships. One of the ways we do that is to have our hangout groups. And unlike Sister Sarah's I Wonder questions, our hangout groups don't necessarily have to be that deep. We just want to get to know each other. And so today's get to know you question is, if you were in a trivia contest, what would be your favorite category? If you were in a trivia contest, what category would enable you to help you help your team more than anything else? And the great thing about this question is you can make up your own category. It doesn't have to be some kind of Trivial Pursuit category. We just want to share with each other, like, what do you know? And it could literally be anything. You could be an expert in internet memes. And so that would be great. What do you know? What could you help your team in on trivia? Have a good time in your breakout groups. Welcome back, everyone. And now a reading of the word led by Kate Reed.
A reading from the book of Nehemiah. I, Nehemiah, asked certain men from Judah about the Jews that survived, those who had escaped the captivity, and about Jerusalem. They replied, "The survivors there in the province who escaped captivity are in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been destroyed by fire." When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. A reading from the book of Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kate. Well, it's kind of obvious that a big theme for today is prayer. The title of this little short introduction to our time in prayer, because we are going to take a few minutes to actually pray together, liturgical prayer. And so this little talk is just sort of an introduction to that liturgical prayer, I think. But I think it's an important introduction because we're in the middle of a series called The Politics of Jesus, where we're thinking about what it really means to have a distinctive Christian voice in the political realm. And so one of the ways that we've been engaging here is to ask the question, how do we bring our deep Christian values into politics, even though we might disagree on important points? What does it mean to have a distinctively Christian sort of political discipleship, if you will? And I really like that term, political discipleship. I sort of do this with other things too that might not go together. Like, I like the word discipleship because it reminds us that, like, being a Christian isn't just believing stuff, believing the right things, but it's actually about following Jesus with the fullness of our life. So when we talk about things like economic discipleship or environmental discipleship, it's really helpful because it reminds us that, you know, many of us have had church backgrounds that maybe haven't emphasized that our economic life or our environmental life is a part of discipleship. And I think one of the ways things that we've been exploring in this series is that politics is the same way, that political discipleship is an essential part of discipleship because the gospel is big enough to cover every part of human life. And so if we put politics in a corner and it's not part of discipleship, then I think we're missing out on some of the fullness of the redemption that the gospel is trying to bring to us. And so this has been a season in which many of us have been really engaged in not just thinking or talking about politics, but actually doing it together and stepping out in ways that are really strong. And I've really enjoyed that. I feel like that's been very rare, at least in my church experience. And so I'm grateful to all of you that have been stepping in this season as we've thought and tried to act on racial justice in the political realm, as we've engaged with our national election and tried to do it from a very distinctively Christian point of view. I also want to say to those of you, I know that this is a tough season for all of us in lots of ways, and that some of us haven't been able to be as engaged. And I just want to quickly, before we start, just sort of speak a word of like, that's okay. That there is grace for all of us, that we're all going through hard things. And, you know, some of us have been able to engage a lot and some of us a little. But I hope that for all of us that we can sort of bank the stuff we've been talking about and the stuff we've been trying together. And that today, as we pray together, that just if you're here, that we'll be acting in a corporate way where we're all doing this together. So again, just a few words of appreciation for what we've been walking through as we go. And I feel like a lot of the things we've been talking about, whether it's loving our enemies or whether it's the fact that loving our enemies and calling for justice in the political arena, that those two things go together, or that that the beauty of the kingdom of God, the peaceable kingdom of Jesus, that we can see that if we have double vision, we can see that even in the ugliness of politics. I think we've been trying to see that somehow the gospel surprises us and brings together things that we hadn't thought about. And so that's really what we're trying to do today. We're trying to say that politics and prayer really go together in political discipleship. And I think it's probably true that many of us in our church experience haven't really inherited good political instincts, if you will, in this area. Here's what I mean. Like in our church, in CUF, if you're new to this community, I would say that here's a couple things that distinguish us. One is that we really believe in prayer. Like we strongly believe in prayer. We believe that Jesus meets us in prayer. We believe in prayer ministry. We believe in intercession. We believe in going to God with the deep things of our hearts. We really believe that. And I think one of the things we've seen in the last few months is that we are learning a lot and leaning into politics, that we are believing that this is part of our faith as well. And, you know, we're beginners, but we're really trying to figure that out. One of the things I noticed, though, is that even though we're trying to, we believe deeply in these two things, that we haven't probably inherited instincts that bring these two things together. Right? That I don't know that there are many of us, and it's certainly true of me, that pray deeply and earnestly about politics, that bring our political calling into our life of prayer in ways that are really sustained and sustainable and really strong. And so that's what I'd like to invite us into in the next few weeks, actually, to think about how we can really have a prayerful politics and how we can integrate those sort of two things. And that's the reason we chose these two passages from today. Because if you look in the Bible, we see that so many people, so many of our ancestors in faith, in the scriptures, had this strong, you know, political discipleship instinct. And so we see that in these two passages. First, we see it in Nehemiah. It's a beautiful story of how politics and prayer really go together. So this is the very beginning of Nehemiah, and we see here how Nehemiah is a sort of a political leader in the Jewish community that is in exile over in Babylon. And he's hearing a report from some of the others in the Jewish community that were back in their homeland, that weren't in exile, but there were a few kind of left. And he heard how they were doing really politically and economically. And they were struggling. Their gates were falling down. Their whole community was really struggling and falling apart. And this just broke to see the sort of political brokenness of his community back home. It really broke his heart. Like the political brokenness broke his heart. Like his heart and his spirit was linked to his community's politics. And so I just think it's so striking here what his political instincts were, that when he heard that, he immediately turned to God instinctually. He says, "When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, praying and fasting before the God of heaven." And so it's because of passages like this that we feel called to even pray and fast this week and to invite each other into a corporate experience of prayer the way Nehemiah did. As he saw the political brokenness around him, he prays. And, you know, we didn't have space in our service to hear his whole beautiful prayer, but I would encourage you to read it and to look at it as an example of someone whose heart is moved in the political realm and it draws him into prayer. Really amazing. And then when we turn into the New Testament, we see something really similar in one of Paul's letters. And the key here, you might read this text and think that this is sort of purely, so to speak, spiritual, that it doesn't have anything to do with what's political. And actually, I think this passage challenges that very dichotomy, right? It challenges the idea that spiritual is over here and political is over here. But instead, it shows that in Paul's own political theology and his understanding of the gospel, we actually see that the spiritual and the political really go together. And so as we read here, be strong in the Lord and in the strengths of his power, put on the whole armor of God, which we'll see. And if you remember Deanna Trotter's sermon from a while ago, great sermon where she talked about putting on the armor of God as this metaphor for these different spiritual disciplines, including and especially prayer. But then Paul goes on to say why it's really important to have these spiritual disciplines, these sort of spiritual prayerful engagements. And it's because our struggle is not against the enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, it's very important. I think we could do a whole sermon on this because these concepts are a little bit obscure to us now. But when Paul talks about rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places, he's really sort of talking about the spiritual forces behind the political and social forces that shape our world today, right? That as we look at these powerful social forces that politics shapes and embodies, Paul actually says that we are engaging that in our spiritual practice, right? So this is not sort of floating away, let's just pray that we all go to heaven, those kinds of things. But this is warfare against the spiritual forces of evil that we are fighting, that are sort of embodied in politics, if that makes sense, right? And so that's not just a sort of theoretical spiritual thing. Paul goes on to say, take up the whole armor of God. Practically be very involved in spiritual disciplines. And of course, so then there's a whole list of spiritual disciplines, which, you know, go back and listen to Deanna's sermon. It was really great. But he ends with this next slide where he says that prayer is actually the sort of crowning spiritual disciplines, that we are to pray in the Spirit at all times and every prayer and supplication, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. So I believe that both of these, and these are just illustrative. There are passages throughout the scripture that illustrate this instinct to have a prayerful politics. So let's do it. Let's, as beginners, let's like pray together. Let's pray our politics together. Let's pray the politics of Jesus together. How are we going to do this, though? We're going to pray in just a second. I just want to, before we do it, two practical tips I think might be helpful in framing our time of prayer. First of all, I would encourage us as we pray politically, like this is dicey, and I think it's a lot of the reason people don't do it, because politics are so divisive, and politics even in the church, and even in our church, can be divisive, that we believe different political things. So one way that political prayer can go wrong is that people sort of, they use prayer as a way to argue for their political position against other people, right? Does that make sense? You know, you pray and it's not really a prayer. It's sort of a veiled argument or a dig at the other team that you happen to know be present in the prayer room. So we don't want to do that, obviously. As we pray, we want to, there's a place to have, you know, to have a forum to discuss political things we don't necessarily agree on. And we've been doing that in a lot of our lunch and learns and our conversations about the election. You know, like for example, we had this, I think, a really good forum discussion about Proposition 25, which would eliminate cash bail. And you know, we didn't all fully agree. Even those of us who feel very strongly that we want justice, who are accused of a crime, that, you know, God cares particularly about them. Some of us thought that Prop 25 would be and would move justice forward for folks who are accused. Others of us thought that, no, it wouldn't. So in other words, in prayer, that is not the time to argue and pray for the passage or the non-passage of Proposition 25 against sort of other people. That praying is a time of praying just for justice for those who are accused of a crime and may face incarceration. And God can sort out those things. And we just pray for God's justice in that place. And so one way to do this, one way to pray, like, so to speak, the platform and not the forum, your forum position, but to pray God's platform is to use liturgy. In liturgy, we choose some set words from scripture and from other prayers, and we let those words form us. And so we are going to do that now. And thank you so much to Dana Lundblad, who actually put together this liturgy. Some of you prayed it in your life groups this week, and we're going to pray it in just a minute. And we're also going to pray this liturgy for the next 3 weeks, because I really think that liturgy not just helps us pray God's platform for politics and maybe not the parts that are divisive or we're not sure about, but I think it also roots and grounds us in scripture and in a common prayer. And frankly, I think we're going to need that. A lot of us are experiencing a lot of, anxiety, fear, anger about the way the election is going down. And we don't know what's going to happen in the election. And so we're going to pray this prayer, this liturgy this week and next week and after the election. And I think there'll be something really powerful about praying the same words, which ground us in scripture and in God's vision for justice in politics, in several different situations when we probably are feeling really different, and different ones of us in our church are even going to be feeling different from each other. So I feel like this can be a unifying form of prayer. We don't have to be afraid and avoid politics, but we can unify around, I think in this case, this liturgy. So the second thing I would say, as we are about to pray, I would like to invite us all to use double vision right now as we pray. So please consider right now bringing to mind some kind of political concern that you have. For some of us who are really engaged in politics, right away, you might think of like, oh my gosh, I am really anxious about this. You know, for some of us, the election, for some of us, it's other things. But what is really concerning you politically right now? What might you want to bring to God? And bring that to mind. And, you know, if you're less engaged, now's a chance to sort of think about something that you've heard of and kind of bring that to your mind. So I hope that all of us can bring that to our mind. And then as we pray these common words, we're going to sort of be praying these words in the context of that thing. So we're experiencing double vision, right? These words which embody the goodness of the scriptures and this thing which is causing us, you know, anxiety or concern or interest in some way. We're practicing this double vision sort of in prayer. So do you have your thing, your political concern in mind? Okay, well, let's now practice double vision. And let's prepare to pray together. Just two quick logistical things. First of all, when you see, I'm going to put up the liturgy right now. I'm going to share this. And when you see something in bold, like you see there where it says, "Oh Lord, make haste to help us," that is when you're invited to say that along with our prayer leaders. So Tracy and Sharon will be our prayer leaders. They'll be alternating. And we can say those words when you see something in bold. Second, I just want to make you aware that later on, about two-thirds of the way through our prayer time, there will be a one-minute time for us to write, to type prayers into the chat. You can also choose just to pray silently to yourself at that point, but you can also type your prayers into the chat. And again, I would encourage you to make those platform prayers that you feel like everybody in our meeting could say amen to. Our goal is to bring these to God and to unify each other. All right, so I think that is enough preliminaries. Let us now go to the Lord in prayer in our liturgy of peace for our nation.
A liturgy of peace for our nation. Worship the Lord in beauty of holiness. Let the whole earth tremble before him. Yours is the day, O God. Yours also the night. You established the moon and the sun. You fixed all the boundaries of the earth. You made both summer and winter.
O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen.
A collect for our nation. Lord God Almighty, you have made all the peoples of the earth for your glory, to serve you in freedom and in peace. Give to the people of our country a zeal for justice and the strength of forbearance, that we may use our liberty in accordance with your gracious will, through Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A Collect for Peace. Almighty God, kindle, we pray, in every heart the true love of peace, and guide with your wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that in tranquility your dominion may increase until the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Draw us into your love, Christ Jesus, and deliver us from fear. Lord, make us an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.
A reading from Amos, chapter 7. A day for the building of your walls. In that day, the boundary shall be far extended. In that day, they will come to you from Assyria to Egypt, and from Egypt to the river, from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. But the earth will be desolate because of its inhabitants, for the fruit of their doings. They will come trembling out of their fortresses. They shall turn in dread to the Lord our God, and they shall stand in fear of you. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of your possession? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in showing clemency. He will again have compassion upon us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and unswerving loyalty to Abraham, as you have sworn to our ancestors from the days of old. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A reading from Luke, chapter 2, Simeon's song. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen.
Lord, you have called us in these days of division and injustice to consider what it means to be your disciple and reflect your kingdom in our voices, our actions, and our votes with bold humility. Today, as we draw near to November 3rd, we set that aside and prayerfully remember the safety of our brothers and sisters all across the country as they vote in a pandemic. We reflect that on that day, there will be divisiveness and pain, reflecting the wounds of our nations. our nation. You have called us to be ministers of your reconciliation. Show us how to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Make us worthy, Lord, to serve our brothers and sisters throughout our communities, our nation, and the world, who live and die in poverty, injustice, and pain. Give them today, through our hands, their daily bread, and through our understanding love, give peace and joy. Amen.
Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness and justice, for great is their reward. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray that your fruit would be in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. Almighty God, who created us in your image, grant us grace fearlessly to contend against evil and to make no peace with oppression, and that we may reverently use our freedom. Help us to employ it in the maintenance of justice in our communities and among the nations. To the glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God, we offer this prayer to you as beginners, Lord, in humility. Lord, I pray that you would go deeper into our souls as we learn how to pray, as we learn how to engage, as we learn how to follow you. Lord, we just pray that it would glorify you. Lord, I think all of us are very aware of how many times your followers have not glorified you when they've entered the political realm. And so we enter with fear and trepidation. Jesus, we desire that you would be glorified. We desire to show the world the beauty of your kingdom, Lord. And we desire to be part of getting stuff done, Lord. As we pray again, may your kingdom come, Lord. May your kingdom come in this election, in the aftermath of the election, before the election, Lord, outside of the election entirely, Jesus, may your kingdom come, and may your kingdom come in our little community, Jesus. I pray that, I pray for the politics of how we treat each other. Lord, I pray for the politics of how we act politically together. Lord, I pray for how we negotiate and cope with this difficult season, Jesus. Be with us. Thank you for loving us as beginners. Lord, recreate really good instincts in our hearts and in our souls. And Jesus, we look forward to you really meeting us and holding us firm in the weeks to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us move from liturgical worship to a little bit of rock and roll worship. Thank you so much, Dar and Alex and Danny, for leading us. Let us continue to worship Jesus, our King.
Good, and you are the fire that leads us to go forward. So sing with me, you are the fire, we are the temple. Oh, you are the fire, we are the temple. You are the voice, we are your song. You are our God, we are your people, you are the light, we stand in awe, we stand in awe of you.
Before I spoke a word,
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me.
Morning, church. My name is Ryan Park Grant, and it is time to pray because As you may have caught on, it's always time to pray. But there are some specific ways to pray that are showing up on the screen here. And we invite you especially to prayer ministry, starting from communion to anytime after the service up to 11:45. You may join us with the link that's in the chat, and we will pair you off with prayer ministers to pray for any need that you have. Just like Gary was sharing about interceding for any concern that we have, so that includes politics. In the same way, we may seek the comfort and guidance of the Holy Spirit in any need that we have, including politics or any other thing that is worth doing or caring about is worth praying for. So, for example, if you know in your bones, Ed, that the Dodgers are going to disappoint you again this year, you could come for prayer. Or anything else on your mind or your heart. But in particular, as we were praying this morning, we felt a special invitation for any prayers for mental health, for yourself, or for someone you love, for hope. And in particular, an image of Jesus helping you to overturn a stone that needs to be moved in your life. For these or any other things, we invite you to prayer after communion. God bless you. Oh, and the people who will be praying are Matthew Egdesati Reed and Bora Lee Reed and myself, Ryan Park Grant. Grace and peace to you.
Morning, church. My name is Kim, and I'm going to lead us into our time of communion. At Church Without Walls, we invite followers of Jesus from every background to join in the communion table as our way of saying yes to Jesus. Communion is a tangible, physical way that we invite Jesus to be with us, to be in us. And so if you're in a place of saying, yes, Jesus, I want more of you, we invite you to partake. If you're not in that place, we're super glad that you're here, and just pray that you would be open to seeing what God is doing in your life. We know that God meets all of us exactly where we're at. If you have some bread and some juice or wine or water, that will help. If you don't have that, you should go grab something. It will help you partake. So we celebrate that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he had a meal with his disciples. During that meal, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he gave it to them saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And we remember every time that we take the bread and drink from the cup that we do so remembering Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, and that he is coming again. If you'll extend your hands over your communion elements and pray with me. Holy Spirit, would you come upon these elements to make them for us your very real presence? We pray that you would fall upon us as well and make us to be your very real presence in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take and eat with hearts of faith and thanksgiving.
Amen.
You've heard the phrase, all we can do now is pray. And there are times in which that is true, but this is not one of those times. Instead, this is a time when our prayer goes together with whatever actions God is calling us to. And that is true of the political realm as well, which is why we're going to have another Lunch and Learn today. And this Lunch and Learn at noon will just be half an hour of whatever further election nerding out you would like to do. It will not be very structured, but you know, we'll talk housing. I think people have things to say. I'd love to talk about that vote tripling thing. That's pretty cool. So whether it's your local, whether it's California or local initiatives that you'd like to talk about or have questions about or share, maybe you've got some research that you'd like to share with the rest of us, could certainly enjoy some lunch together and to think about how our prayers and our actions can go together in this season. And now let us go, let us be sent out with the encouragement of God for us. Siwau, may you have the grace this week to pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and every supplication. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Great seeing y'all.